Greetings and salutations. It is the Cleary Podcast, and is it a beautiful day. It has been a good week. It has been a great week. Did a hell of a trip, road trip. Visited my buddy Sadeep, my good buddy Sadeep, because once again, I am racist. Nobody's really racist against the East Indians, are they? Now you think about it, yeah, I don't know if it's just, one, they have such a good reputation because they do work hard. They're law-abiding people. They're a good people, a good culture. They don't come over here and blow shit up. Surgeons, doctors, IT, they're all into the STEM fields. For some reason, there's a genuine bigotry against them up in Canada. I don't know what the hell, what the difference is. I mean, Canada and the U.S. ain't that different. And, our sovereignty differences, our sovereignties aside, this is like, get those dang East Indians. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, the East Indians? The guys that are like doctors and surgeons? The ones that we want to fucking have immigrate over to here? The ones that produce GDP? You don't like those guys? What are you talking about? What's wrong with them? But there's people don't like the East Indians. Well, I can't say everybody, but there's a... I was shocked. Everybody here, it's like, yeah, it's a poo. Because it's not because of Simpsons, but it's because it's true. Every East Indian I've ever met, they've been nice guys. They've been friendly, very friendly. And hard workers. Maybe I'm just biased, because, like, I mean, the... I've not just before college, or after, during college, but... During college, this does not account for the vast majority of my experience, but just it's where I ran into most of it. Heck, I even dated a gal who was East Indian. Oh, she was cute. Woo! She must have had some Brit must have banged her grandfather because she had blue eyes, and she was a good-looking gal, and she wouldn't have sex. I was like, fuck. I'm like, yeah, go away. That was after you guys all had that girl, right? Every guy's got that girl, especially when you're younger in college or high school. The girl that's not going to have premarital sex. And you're an idiot, or you're just too busy otherwise, which was the case with me. You didn't have time to really argue. You just had to put food on the table and pay for the electric bill and get gas in the car. And it's like, it's company. It's a girl. It's something to kiss and make out with. And then I'll get blue balls and jerk off in the toilet later. So you accepted that, you tolerated that, and then after that, you're like, no more bullshit, no, man has needs, and you women are going to satisfy them. You don't have to, you can go worship Jesus, you could go say, I'm not your sex toy and be a feminist for once. I think the religious right females and the most left-winging Marxist anti-nuclear family, anti-progress, hate-filled, bigoted group, the feminists. For once, that's one thing you guys can agree upon. That sex is bad. Sex is all sex is rape. According to what? What do I want to say, Anita Sarkeesian? It wasn't Anita Sarkeesian. Who said that? Hang on, let's look this up. Let us not be like we were in the 80s, where we speculated many hours about things at parties, and then we all had the "oh" moment, or where you woke up at 3 a.m. and said, "That's the guy who said all sex is rape." Catherine McKinnon? Oh, here's Snopes. Okay. Claim. Feminist Catherine McKinnon said all sex is rape. Status. False. Feminist legal theorist and anti-pornography crusader Catherine A. McKinnon is no stranger to controversy during more than 25 years in the public eye. She has placed herself at the heart of a number of storms ranging from the realm of public opinion. She has asserted that rape laws are written to protect the perpetrators rather than the victims and that pornography is a violation of civil rights. She is notable for the part she played in bringing about Canada's tougher anti-pornography laws and in persuading the U.S. Supreme Court to adopt the view that sexual harassment is a form of sex discrimination. McKinnon is not universally respected or liked, even within the ranks of feminism. Her outspoken nature and strong opinions have created enemies for her, and she has become a convenient target for anyone looking to run down the movement by caricaturing one of its more prominent members as a strident harpy who has loudly asserted as fact any number of fool-headed opinions. I hate to tell you, guys... there's not just one over there. I gotta put together this video. I wanna grab all the crazy bullshit feminists have done, and then keep saying, you know, Is it really? Do you re- are you sure you want to be a feminist? Are you sure you want to be a feminist? McKenna never made the statement, which has been attributed to her. The quote she never gave has been variously rendered as all sex is rape, all men are rapists, and all sex is sexual harassment. Critics, well then who said it? Did somebody say it? Dworkin has also disavowed the quote as a false statement circulated by her opponents. She has denied saying all sex is rape or all men are rapists. Penetrative, when also explained to ask her views on the topic, Dworkin replied, penetrative intercourse is by nature violent, but I'm not saying that sex must be rape. What I think is that sex must not be put upon women in a subordinate position. It must be reciprocal and not an act of aggression from a man looking only to satisfy himself. That's my point. Well, I hate to say it. A lot of women like that. I'm terribly sorry. Look up rape fantasies. Not saying. Who said it then? All right, let's investigate this, guys. Claim feminism. I thought it was somebody else. All right, maybe nobody said it. See, we learned something here today, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Nobody ever said all sex is rape. I'm not going to lie to you. I hate to be so presumptive, but I think there's some women out there that just hate men so much or are so ugly or hideous and can't get laid. They want to view it as rape. There's some gals out there that just don't like sex. And there's something wrong with them. There's something mentally wrong with them. I mean, it's like, oh, no, not orgasms. Oh, Jesus Christ, not chocolates or money or platinum bars. Shit, we don't want none of that fun shit going on here. We don't want small. Oh, God, not funny humor. Don't make me laugh, Eddie Izzard. We don't like Eddie Izzard because he's fun. There's something mentally wrong with you if you don't like sex. There is. And there's a lot of gals out there, guys. They just don't like sex. And I don't know if they're scared or, oh, my God, it's inside me. I don't give a shit. I'm not this 18-year-old doopy kid anymore. Okay, and you whatever you say. No, sex is great. You should have it as awesome as much as you possibly can until you get the prostate cancer, and then you got to remove the prostate. And I understand women don't like sex as much as men. I understand that, but this isn't like it's not a chore. I know you got to be physically attracted to the guy, but it's not a job. It's not a duty. God almighty, this is for you younger boys out there, and we'll inevitably get back to the East Indian guys in the poo. But yeah, just, you have sex. I understand. Say 16 and under. Hormones, just hit puberty a couple years before. Girls aren't familiar, you don't want to get pregnant. New thing, absolutely, I understand, very intimate. But by about 16 or 17, if that girl ain't putting out, fuck her. You don't date her. Not fuck her. You don't fuck her and you don't. If you can't fuck her, you don't date her. That's what it boils down to. Now, I understand our religious contingent, our religious people who are like, well, I believe, I absolutely, 100% agree with you. There's damn good reasons that they had laws put into pretty much every ancient civilization that you should be married before you have kids, before you have sex. Not because there's anything wrong with sex, but because that is, otherwise society would have bastardized children and illegitimate children. They cost society a tremendous toll, black community. Oh, shame. I'm sorry. I meant to say Hispanic community. I meant to say both communities. Oh, wait, let's throw in all the state of Wyoming there while we're at it. So we're all just inclusive and diversity-like. Where was I going with this? Guys, but now with the advent of birth control and all this other stuff. No. You do not, guys have some self-respect. This is what it boils down to. You have some self-respect. If a girl is not going to have sex, she is not satisfying one of your key needs. And then you leave. Okay? Birth control has made it. It's changed the game, girls. It's changed the game. I don't give two flying fucks what your genetic programming is. Men have genetic programming as well. And they would like to have sex. Now, we could all have a win-win here with some technology that has been around for, 50, 60 years with the pill? We could all be having lots of sex and enjoying it. But I don't know what the holdup is with the women. I know it's genetic. I know you don't want to sleep. I understand. You're very choosy. 80% of college girls would only sleep with 20% of the guys, whereas, all the guys were kind of more or less evenly matched, in terms of looks and attractive. I understand you're very finicky. That's genetics. But for the guys, in general, if the girl doesn't put out, you're not dating her. Unless, of course, you're religious. Right? For other reasons, which I respect. I understand completely. I'm behind you on that. But for those of us who are secularists or cafeteria Christians who claim to be Christian, but we want to have sex anyway, nearly all of you, you don't date the girl unless you have sex. Anyway, getting back to Apu, I went and visited my buddy Sadiq over in Michigan. He came all the way. He's been to the United States 3 times now, working various gigs, engineer, and just like he was like my lost brother, like over on the subcontinent, because he came over to the United States and I met him in my dad's class, and he was an adventurer. He wanted to go out. He wanted to explore the United States. So I was talking to him. And just a really interesting insight, you know, there's a lot of East Indians over in Eden Prairie, which is a suburb, and that's where I was teaching. And obviously they have a demand for IT people, so there's a fair amount of East Indians over there. And I said, well, how come it dawned on me? I don't have a lot of East Indians in my class. Matter of fact, you're the first one, and I've been teaching for 12 damn years. He's like, they all stay in. I said, what do you mean they all stay in? He says, they all stay in. They don't go out. They go to work. They take the bus home, and they go home, they cook the food, and they go to bed. I'm like, they came literally. I mean, I think Australia is the other side of the planet for us. But I mean, literally, more or less, the other side. They traveled the furthest anyone possibly can. And you're telling me they're not going to, like, participate in the culture? I mean, fuck, I go to India. You damn right I'm riding an elephant. I'm shooting baboons. I'm doing whatever the hell they're doing over there. I'm not going to fly clear across the fucking planet to not shoot baboons or ride elephants or wear that fancy garb or eat their spicy food. I'm doing whatever the fuck is going on over there in India if I go over there. And I think Sadiq, my buddy Sadiq, had the same idea. I'm coming to the United States. I'm going to do shit. But it just shocked me and amazed me. And he was right, because then I saw it. Like, you know, he introduced me to some friends. And the only time I ever saw his friends was at home. Were they coming out salsa dancing? No. Were they coming swing dancing? No. Were they trying whiskey? No. But Sadiq sure the hell did. That poor bastard. He came here. I remember. He was in my dance class. So he put on 30 pounds. Now, this guy's shorter than me. And because the diet, like, they don't have, obviously, as much food. They don't have Walmart and stuff like that. And he had never been to an all-you-can-eat buffet. The concept was completely foreign to him. And he says, Aaron, there's this thing called the Supermoon Buffet. You got to try it. I said, well, yeah, they have buffets. He's like, there's more of them? I'm like, yeah. This is kind of the whole concept is that you don't have to, you know, you make vast amounts of food. So it takes less labor technically because you're not making specifically tailored meals to each individual. So you charge a fee or a cover charge. And then the people come in. And that was like the best thing he had. Forget salsa dancing. Forget swing dancing. I introduced him to Black Russians. He likes Black Russians. He was all impressed with the all-you-could-eat buffet. And it showed. His mother even said, oh my God, Sadiq, you've put on so much weight. Guy was here like 3 months. So we went to visit him. He got stationed out in Michigan. And I was talking to him. I'm like, dude, you got to write a book or something. Or you should go consult Tata Consulting or Tata Corporation, which is like the largest East Indian company, very successful. And I'm like, because I've got to feel bad. You got all these East Indians coming over here, and they don't take advantage of, they don't explore, they don't go travel. I mean, every once in a while, I'll see one over at the Grand Canyon, or you see them at Mount Rushmore, but they literally just, go to work, and then they take the bus home, and they cook their food at home, and then they eat, and then maybe they do a little bit more work, and then they go to bed. Or they call or Skype nowadays with their family back home, which was also kind of a sad thing. He's got kids back in India. So we went over there to visit him, but I was just like, you got to write a book, man. You would be, and they did. They called it Sadiq's Drink, because he finally got some people over at the company he was working with to, like, go to a bar. I mean, this was, like, big time. What do they call it? Field trip. Like, it is all these students, all these school kids going on a field trip. But he took a bunch of these guys over to the bar, and they called it Sadiq's Drink. It is a Black Russian. But if you ever go to India, now, hey, I God, wouldn't that be the coolest thing ever? Sadiq jumped the cultural barrier. He started drinking Black Russians. Then he introduced like some key bigwigs at the company he was working at, and they didn't know it was a Black Russian. They just called it Sadeep's drink. And now, could you imagine, ladies and gentlemen, 50 years from now, these bigwigs go back to East India, they go back to the subcontinent, and then they spread the rumor around, oh, we got to get Sadeep's drink, and Sadeep's, and it spreads, and then 1.2 billion people on the planet, all East Indian, call Black Russians Sadeep's drink. Oh, man, that would be tits. Oh, that'd be tits.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, for all the East Indian guys, welcome to the United States. We like you here. Or at least I do. I don't know. I guess some people don't like you. I don't mind. I mean, you guys work. Fucking hell. How about we get a war going on between the illegal aliens from Mexico that go on welfare and the East Indians who actually fucking work for a living? I know. A lot of the Mexicans work. I know, guys. I know. You're in the fields doing the jobs our spoily, cunty, American millennial brat children won't. I get that, but could you please learn English, and could you please fucking become a citizen, and could you please fucking vote Republican? I know it's going to prevent all your cousins from coming up here, but you see, if your cousins all come up from here, then it will basically become Mexico, which is the country you were trying to escape. So, like, I understand if you want, I get it. Mexico was a shithole. Actually, I'm long on Mexico, because they have good economic growth, and you actually see some genuine work ethic there. And they don't spoil their citizenry either with a bunch of social programs. But if you keep voting for leftist shitholes and leftist politicians, you're going to... Fuck Mexico, you're going to get Venezuela. That's what you're going to get. I know that requires intellectual honesty and delayed gratification responsibility. And meanwhile, we just want to spread our legs and get fucked and get more government money. And then still claim we're equals in that regard. And if anyone disagrees or criticizes us for our stupid, piss-poor decision-making, they're racist because we're cowards and we hide behind the color of our skin and our vag. Oh, if only everybody listened to me, then the world would be way better off. Anyway, it is a Clarity Podcast. How are you guys doing? We had to go visit our buddy Sadeep, and I did the... Oh, that's what I was going to say. We went on this great... I stopped drinking. I went 20 days without booze. Had some booze last night because of the long trip I did. I'm like, okay, I can have a little bit of booze. But I'm seriously going to be trying to knock it off because I'm not going to live too much longer if I keep going down that road. And a lot of us are. We got to admit it, guys. We all got a drinking problem here on the interwebs. Chapin, he's always fighting that booze and everything. Forney, I ended up hanging out with Forney in Chicago. And people were saying, like, it was a meetup, bunch of people there. And they're all, like, saying, like, well, what do you just got to go wake up, da-da-da-da-da, and you could be drunk when you do those videos. I'm like, I'm drunk in half those videos. Like, you are? And Forney deadly looks at me and says, yeah, I could tell. I'm like, yeah, because you're a professional. Not just a professional blogger, you're a professional alcoholic. And, absolutely right. All these guys, all these creative types, all this interwebs thing is certainly... allowed for an environment by which alcoholism can foster. And we got to stop drinking. That's what we got to do. Or at least cut way back. So I had my first drink in 20 days, which I know to you non-alcoholics, that seems like nothing. Like, what? That's it? 29? I never had it. Yeah, I know. But we got to deal with you sober people and the inferiors. Us high intellectual types, and I'm being deadly serious, and call me an elitist if you want. Us smarter than average people. Us people, and on top of it, people that didn't exactly have the greatest upbringings, the greatest financial support. You know, like your parents may or may not have existed and it wouldn't have really mattered. Booze kind of takes a nice little edge off. It kind of puts you into this world of vacationing, a mental vacation, where it's like, and there's just peace and serenity and calm and relaxation. But in the end, guys, no, we're going to have to. Forney, what else? Davis, Byrne, myself. I'd even throw Bill Burr into the mix, but Bill Burr is, like, way more popular and on a different stratospheric level than all of us. But, yeah, you got to, and for those of you who are out there who are drinking, just cut it out, guys. Let's cut it out. Or at least scale it back a bit. Give the old internal organs a respite. But I did celebrate with some drinking last night because I hadn't drank for 20 days, but then that also, when I don't drink, as you guys know, that results in me going on my 30-hour day schedule. Because I don't know why, but my body, if I don't drink, will go on a hyperactive schedule. It will go on an ADD, which is not a disadvantage or a disability. It's a super ability. It's like being a superhero. And you get 5 hours sleep, and you're up for 25 hours on top of that. And so that whacked with my schedule. But it came in very handy because I had to drive all the way over to Michigan to visit my buddy Sadiq. We crashed over at his house one night. And I'm thinking like, the girlfriend hasn't been to Chicago. Not since she was a kid. And she certainly has not seen Lakeshore Drive at night. I looked at the math. I did the calculations. And I'm like, Elkins is over there. Forney's over there. Brown's over there. I got another buddy, Dave. He never hangs out, so I don't bother inviting him. And so, Dave, if you're listening, I would have invited you, but, you never hung out when I come over there. So, no offense. We love you. Love to see you, but, let me know. And then, good old Vince, and then Ann Sturzinger. I mean, not just the Chicago crowd. I'm like, if we time it right. So we wake up, and I had gotten like 11 hours sleep, so I was on fire. I was like fully loaded, armed, and ready, Clary. And woke up at 10, played sober cab to Sadiq and my girlfriend because we went through Saginaw, Michigan, looking for dive bars. That's another thing we had to explain to Sadiq, the concept of a dive bar. He's like, why would we go to a crappy bar? Why don't we go to a nice bar? I'm like, it has charm. You don't want it too cleansly or fancy. He's like, so we're going to a dirty bar? I don't want to eat at a dirty bar. Well, no, I mean, it's clean. It means, but you don't want it to be preppy. And I tried to explain that dichotomy to him. So we drove around. There were some boat races, like F1 boat races. They're really cool. Over on the Saginaw River in Saginaw, Michigan. Look it up. It's really cool stuff. And then I was like, okay, we'll see you later. So like 2 p.m., we leave Saginaw, and I'm like, still 100%. Like, let's go. Let's do it. So we drive through, visited some fans over in St. Joseph's, Michigan. Wanted to say hi to Josh and Jesse, I think was his girlfriend's name. Two nice young kids. I got to tell you a story about them, about Michigan and how you can get free college. I did not know this, but Michigan... you can get free college. Actually, hang on. Let me write that down. Write down on the little whiteboard here. Here we go. Michigan free college. That is a game changer. I had no idea this thing existed. Basically, if you don't graduate from high school and you stay in high school, you could go and attend college for free. So now the smart kids are basically delaying their graduation as long as they can so they could take as many college classes. So I'll have to look into it and explain. Anyway, so we visited those kids there. I had some nice dinner. Actually gave me hope. These young guys, young kids, one's in IT. He's already programming and hacking routers. And then his girlfriend, another nice, very cute. Cute as a button. Ah, you should have seen this girl. She was cute. Just cute as a button. Just like, look at her. She's cute. And she's thinking about going to some radiology or x-ray technician or something like that where she 60 grand off the bat right with this certification, like a year or 2 year certification. I'm like, dang, look at that. It made me good. It made me feel good because I'm like, look, okay, these kids are actually not that it was me. I'm not claiming this was only me. Their environment and their condition actually resulted in them making these decisions. But I'd like to think I had a little bit of something to do with it. These kids are like tuning in, listening. I think the guy read the book. He read Bachelor Pad. I don't know. He was a fan somehow. That's the kind of the funny thing too. Is like when I meet new, like how did you get? I don't know. It's like the blog or something, and inevitably they end up with the books or the podcast or something like that. So. Maybe we ought to do a little bit of sponsors.
Well, the sponsors, I can't lie to you guys. I did record that first half of the podcast earlier today, but then I had to catch a flight down to Tampa. I had to. By the way, if anyone... I already talked to the Joneses. We have fans down in Tampa in St. Petersburg way. But if any of you are down there, let the old captain know. I've got a pretty busy itinerary. I have to. And I know I'm not going to get any sympathy from any of you guys. I have to my pilot buddy, buying new toys. And not only is he going to pick me up in a Corvette, which I'm pretty sure he's going to drive because he doesn't like driving his other car. Although maybe he will. Maybe he'll bring the crew, the fans. But he got a boat, and he wants to take it down to the Florida Keys. So this week, we're going to go from St. Petersburg down to Key West. So if we have any Cappy Capite fans down in Key West, let us know. We'll be there. But yeah, so I have to go with it. If you have your choice in friends, I recommend rich ones. I'm just saying that's, or at least those that spend their money. But, so I had to, I was going to do sponsors, and then, we ended up having to drop off my motorcycle. Oh, that's the other thing I got to tell you guys about. I'm going to be going up to, well, geez, Aaron, where are you going? You're going all over. So we're going on to Florida Keys this week, but then I think in about 2 weeks, depending on weather, I'm going to ride the St. James Bay Road up to the Hudson Bay over in Canada. And that's going to take a little bit of logistics. So what I did is, you don't want to break down. There's basically a 240-mile stretch without gas. So I've done the math, and I got myself a jerry can of about 6 extra gallons. And that'll carry me the way. But if you look at it, this is one of the most remote, non-populated areas of the world. I don't even know why Canada. Why the hell didn't Canada? You look at all these national. Look at a map of Canada. They got all these national parks. They're all in the north. It's all beautiful. But they never build fucking roads to these things. They just don't build roads. I mean, all the roads. You look at a map. I mean, they end at Winnipeg. Like, there's nothing that goes north. And then they have all these, like, little settlements or towns like Churchill. And all that. Oh, I'll drive to Churchill. No, you can't drive. You got to fly. Or take a train, even. What was it? Manasi? However you Canadians pronounce it. It's not Regina. It's called Regina. And then you kind of laugh and snort. But, so that... I had to drop off the motorcycle at the dealership. Say, okay, look. I can't have this thing breaking down on me. It's in pretty good shape. And it's due for its scheduled maintenance. Because I put so many miles on it. I had that thing 6 months. And I think I've already put 10,000 miles on it. Already needed new tires, driving all over the country. So I dropped it off there, and I said, look, this thing has got to make it to this town, Radisson, Quebec, look it up, and back. And they kind of looked at me, and they're like, you're driving all the way? I'm like, yeah. I showed them on the map, on the phone, like, this is where it's got to go. And I showed them the stretch of road where there's no gas station. I say, and this is the stretch. It just cannot fail me. It has to make it across this road. I say, all right, we'll give it the good one. So I say, okay, thank you very much. Anyway, so I did the math, and I totally didn't do enough planning. Between the book and then having to fly out, suffering to go to Florida Keys, on a boat, by the way, if I mention that, and being picked up by a Corvette, if I failed to mention that, by the way, then also the motorcycle ride out to the middle of freaking nowhere, Canada. I'm like, oh, crap, I got to end the podcast now. And I didn't have to. And now I'm at the airport. Everybody is, like, kind of letting me be. Nobody's saying, oh, look at this weird freak over here talking to himself in the microphone. After a while, you just don't give a flying fuck. This is how I make my money. You know? You got to do it when you can. Also, the technology today allows you to do it. Kind of looking around, it's Minnesota. A lot of scared Scandinavians, a lot of scared Norwegians and Germans of the third or fourth generation. Their great-great-grandparents came over on the boat. It's kind of interesting slice of Minnesota. Anyway, let's try and do my sponsor list from memory here. We have all my books, Bachelor Pad Economics, Curse of the High IQ. Oh, what else? Black Man's Got Out of Poverty. The new one, Reconnaissance Man, that's coming out. I got to start working on that. I'm going to be working on that on the plane, charging up the laptop now. Need about 4 hours from Minneapolis down to Tampa. I should have brought that. I had a gal, a friend of mine down in Phoenix, IT gal, brilliant genius gal, worked for the CIA, brings in $300,000 a year, working high-level IT security stuff. And she said, here's a spare battery. You know, like you can, it charges in the outlet, and then you can plug it into your laptop or your cell phone and provide extra light. I don't need that. That's extra crap. And I'm like, damn, I wish I kept that. Gave it to the girlfriend. Girlfriend used it. Loved it. Saved her ass many times. Me, not the others. Anyway, so yeah, all the books, you can find them available on Amazon. They're, all of them are in paperback and Kindle. Worthless and Bachelor Pad Economics are also available in audiobook, and we have an Undertow at undertowaudio.com. He is recording Curse of the High IQ for Audible, so that'll be available as well. Ideally, I'm going to get all my books on Audible. That's just the way it is. Like the I remember a long time ago, like 2008, almost 10 years ago, 8 years ago at least. No, it was 2007. What was it, 2008? No, it was 2007. I was writing the book in 2006. Anyway, I was kind of thinking, do I really want to offer it on Kindle? Like, who's going to buy this thing on digital on Kindle? And now it counts for 60% of my sales. So you just got to commit to offering your books in every digital media format possible. So it's available in Audible. It's available in Kindle. It's available in paperback. And so hopefully you'll be able to get all my books like that. Then we have other people's books. We have Pushing Rubber Downhill by Adam Piggott, who also happens to have a podcast. I should download his podcast. It'll give me something to listen to on the plane. So we got his podcast and then also his blog. So just search Pushing Rubber Downhill by Adam Piggott. Very unique name. You'll be able to find him. Good Aussie down there. David Cerini's book, As I Walk These Broken Roads. There's also, who else? Marty Andrade's Nixon's Guide to the Multiverse. Silvio Canto's the Cuban book. Cubanos in Wisconsin. It's a cute book. It's a good one. You'd enjoy it. And then, S.P. Daly's Welcome to the Divide. He's got another one out, and I didn't bring it with me. Maybe that's what I should have done. Damn it, I should have brought some books. Could have caught up on all these people who want me to read their books. Oh, God. Roosh sent me his latest book. I haven't read. I'm not like, that quick. I'm always amazed how Davis, the minute after the book is released, Davis has already read it and done a review on it. I just don't have that reading ability or time. I always, and Roosh's like, hey, it's my new book. I'm like, yeah, okay. I'll review yours when you review mine. I'm kidding. He's busy. He's got shit going on. Although he did take kind of, where's he gone? He's kind of, I don't know what he's doing. It's a tragedy. You don't get the time to enjoy other people's writings or their life. Because that's basically what it is. You're looking at their life, kind of living a little bit vicariously through these people. Say, what's going on here? What's going on the Roosh station? What's going on Roosh channel? And you're like, oh shit, nothing exciting. Certainly not compared to last year. What is his book anyway? Free Speech Isn't Free or something like that? Yeah, it's no doubt it's going to be good. He is an excellent writer. I do enjoy reading his books. Just no fucking time. Maybe that's what Roosh should do. Hey, Roosh, if you listen to this, go get Davis or Undertow to do your audiobook for you. And then us busy people can, actually listen to it and not have to sit and read. Reading's just so inefficient. Just so inefficient. Don't you like to read? No, I don't like to read. Nobody likes to read. Okay, weird, freaking, nerdy people like to read. But with today's tech, I don't know why books even exist anymore. Here's my headphones. Just tell me the story. I don't need a. I can do so much other stuff. I can drive. I can do all this other stuff. Hang on. Damn it. There we go. Anyway, what else for sponsors? Alex was he at Academic Composition. That's at academiccomposition.com. Go there. Have Alex and his crackpot team of writers do all your homework and liberal arts papers for you. Also, if you're looking for a job, contact Alex. Go to academiccomposition.com and send him an email. He's always looking for good writers who are reliable and get shit done on time. Also, he's always looking for marketers. Neither of these jobs are exciting or interesting, but they can be done from a laptop at a beach in Thailand. So I would definitely consider that. And yeah, I mean, I wish I had that opportunity when I was a kid. I would have banged out I think he pays $10 a page. So if you're, you know, proficient at writing, I'd definitely consider contacting him. AcademicComposition.com. Oh, who else? I'm trying to go by memory. I really should have put the podcast advertiser list on my laptop. I just didn't. Hey, you know what? Just go to my website. Go to CaptainCapitalism.blogspot.com and just just click on the links there. So go buy all my Amazon shit. Tell people. We'll just make that the advertisement, the sponsors list. Just go to my site if you want to help people out, including me. You can buy my crap on Amazon.com, my Amazon affiliate program, blah, 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 do all this. All right, I got to end this quick here. So I do want to tell you one more little segment or story, and then maybe I'll hit the bar. Maybe I'll go to the bar, even though I said not to drink anymore. Maybe I will go to that bar, get myself a shot before I board the plane. And then one chapter of the new book while I'm writing will be a little bit more lucid than the others. So we did go to Chicago. I ended up hanging out with all the Chicago guys. So we had good old Marcus Brown, Vince Jamison, Ann Sturzinger, Matt Forney, and our very own friend, who I didn't mention in the sponsors, Chad Elkins. So we're talking to Chad, and Chad is now a single man, and he said that he got a date through Tinder. And Tinder is about the time where I was off the market, so it's always a curious adventure to me. I'm kind of like, oh, how does dating work now with this new social media technology? You know, what's it like? And the guy ain't much younger than me. He's 35, so he's probably, like most men, you're getting to the point where, like, I'm sick of this bullshit. And you're just like, nah, I got other crap to do. I'd rather do accounting. I'd rather do CPA work. I'd rather go to the bar and hang out with you guys. He says he's got a date on Tinder. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So I followed up with him yesterday. I say, how'd your date go? He said, she stood me up. And I was like, God dang, you know, that has not happened to me in, like, at least 10, maybe 12 years. Yeah, and it, again, as I always say, I wonder what it's like for you boys on the front, because I'm not dating anymore. But it hasn't changed. If anything, it's got worse. And the concept of a 35-year-old man, you know, like, you're not 18 years old, you're not a child, you're more than twice the age of 18, you're 35, 40, and these gals are still standing you up? It's like, what the fuck? Number one, it wasn't ever excusable or forgivable in the first place. That was not right to stand men up. It's a cowardly thing to do. It's dishonest. It's despicable is what it is. But at the age of 35, my fucking God, that's like bullshit. Not only is it insulting, it's super insulting, because, like, you don't have time for that bullshit. When the fuck do you women grow the fuck up? When do you mature? I know the ladies that listen to this podcast, you know, you're more mature than the average girl. That's why we love you to death. That's why you're rare. But when was it ever acceptable that girls just didn't show up to a date? That you toyed with a guy's genetics and hormones and biology, not to mention emotions and psychology. I mean, Chad, don't worry, he's not a distraught mess. You just come to, but it was just this blast from the past. Like, holy fuck, this still happens? You girls are still standing guys up? Fuck you. And then we talked about the rule of 50-50-25. 50% show times 50% go equals 25%. Oh, wait. 50% no times 50% show equals 25% go. So Chad and I were talking. I was like, what? No. This isn't going to stand. So I'm going to tell you girls basically right now. I'm going to make this segment a video. You want to know why you girls only make 75% of what men do? Because you have no honor. You have no credibility. You have no, what's the word, temerity? You don't have the balls to tell a guy, no, I don't want to go on a date. And then you say yes, and then you flake on him in the last moment? I look back, and the real statistics was more like, what was it? 30% no, because most girls wouldn't say no to a date, but then 70% of them would not show up. 70% of you girls don't show up to dates. 70%. I know the 30% are very nice, and you're good, and you're honorable women, but as women as a group, fuck you. Ironic how it's almost the exact same percentage of women that vote Democrat. Give me more money, give me that, I need the government. oh, I'm better than everybody else. I don't have to think about other people's feelings or emotions. I'm the only truly sentient person here in this world. It's like a video game. I'm the only independent variable. And I could just string along guys and piss. It's really the time, by the time guys get older, it's really the time that you waste to set aside. Now, Mr. Elkins,
Shauna
of course,
Jones
can... Oh, shit.
Here at 18.
Shauna Jones.
Shauna Jones, 18.
Oh. Anyway. So, Chaz just wasting his time, but still, that's got to piss you off. But when you're younger... Are we going to do this? All right, the lady hopefully shut up. But when you're younger, yeah, you're dumb. You don't know any better. Your hormones are raging. Your emotions are affected. And this girl's stand up. Dude, that's how women are. That's how 70% of the women are. They will fucking stand you up because they're inferior. And I you can quote me on that. You girls, because you are. It's not because you're a woman. It's because you fucking, your behavior is inferior. How dare you stand somebody up? I mean, since I've been, you know, dating a quality, respectable woman this entire time, it really changes your perspective on things and things that shit that I would have just been, like, accepting of even 10, 15 years ago. Now it's like, you fucking cunts. You fucking worthless, inferior cunts. How dare you stand up somebody like that? How dare you? And that is exactly it, that lack of moral character and caliber. That inferiority, that's why you only make 75% of what men do. Because you're just not reliable. If that's any proxy or indication or corollary between your caliber and character as a person, yeah, then it's going to show in your work as well. And it's not acceptable. Just not acceptable. Where do you girls get off thinking that it's okay to stand a guy up? I've never stood a girl up. Never. I think I've maybe missed two appointments in my life, and one was because, like, the 35W bridge collapsed, and the other one, I don't know, some horrendous traffic that it was outside of my control. But then you girls, I mean, for those of you girls that have stood guys up, which is the majority of you, of course, most of you don't listen to this podcast because you're intellectual inferiors, for any one of you bitches that actually stood a guy up, fuck you. Just go fuck yourself. You deserve exactly what you're going to get. And that's like all these douchebag loser dude bros who may or may not, they'll fuck you, but they're not going to fucking marry you. You'll get divorced. You're going to have your shitty ass job as a salon therapist or whatever the fuck it is you do. And that's the other thing. Like, do you girls understand who you've passed up? I always get a kick out of it, especially when I was younger. But like my pilot buddy, here he is. He's a millionaire. Boat, Corvette, multiple houses, owns a company. Then there's Chad Elkins. Chad certainly is not suffering. CPA, runs his own practice, making bank. And not to toot my own horn, okay, I don't know how many, you know, salsa dance instructing, motorcycle riding, adventure, good-looking, decent type guy. I mean, really, you girls, what is it? We're not good enough? Who the fuck would be? You waiting for, like, Hugh Jackman to come down the road? What do you... And you stand these quality guys up? This girl had no idea. None. She just knew Chad was an accountant. That's probably all she knew. And then when you girls bitch and whine about how you can't find a man. Oh, you can't find a man. Where are all the good men gone? Dude, you had it. There's another pilot buddy of mine. He's, like, getting pretty high ranked in one of the major airlines. I forget which one. He's got his house bought and paid for. The guy's a little bit older than me. He's 46, but he works out. He's in shape. He is a musician. He knows how to dance. This guy, I just look and take inventory of my friends, and not like the chick from New York who lives off of daddy's money and go writes for Slut. Oh my goodness, I have the most amazing friends. No, I mean, you look at the quality and caliber of my friends. My fucking God. You girls are standing these guys up. You're passing up on them. It doesn't get any better. You got a bar of fucking gold sitting in front of you. Nope, you can't bend over to pick it up. All right, that's it. I got to go and record this thing and upload it. Lord knows how slow this technology is going to be. And they're going to board here pretty soon. So we'll catch all you kids later. The book hopefully will be done by the time I get back from Florida. Of course, it takes 2 weeks for Amazon to, like, approve it and all that. But then we'll get back to business as usual. Hopefully I'll get, like, Chris Beckloff or Davis to write a guest post. Because they're not busy or anything like that either. But anyway, you guys have fun. We'll catch all you later. Toodles.